Hello and welcome to the fourth episode of our community podcast for Legend of Dragoon. Much of today's episode will orient around the topic of speedrunning, but first we'll do some introductions and updates. Please note that this episode is likely to contain spoilers for the game, so it is recommended that you finish LOD's main storyline before listening to this series. Quick mention that this episode is crowdfunded. While never required, monthly and one-off donations can help justify increased services and features for the fandom, such as the podcast you're listening to now. To learn more, visit ko-fi.com/druniverse, so that's ko-fi.com/drew and the word universe minus the U. To ensure that your donation only goes towards LOD efforts, you can DM me on Ko-fi. And now for our introductions. Hello, my name is Drew Universe, or Drew for short. As a volunteer community organizer, I help curate the fandom and contribute to various projects when I can. Recently, I've been creating several events, as well as improving our website.
And I'm Black Death of Doom. You can call me BDD for short. I speedrun this game and several other games on Twitch pretty regularly. Tomorrow, I'm actually doing Final Fantasy X speedrun, so you want to watch that. But yeah, mostly this game. Legend of Dragoon, the best game ever. Kind of, maybe, arguably. Anyway, yeah, that's me. So now we're going to go to our news section of the podcast here, where we talk about news in the community. So the first one would be our art event featuring Dragoons recently concluded this past Sunday. There are some really interesting pieces all around, including crossovers. We're waiting for our late entries, but we should have the art showcase posted this weekend. Next piece of news is the reverse engineered build of LOD is now playable. We just started a new week of playthrough last Friday and we'll be in episode 2 tomorrow. For the public, compiled releases will be available soon and we're looking for more testers. To apply, head to discord.gg/dragoon and in the modding channel just tag monoxide saying you would like to do playtesting.
Very cool stuff. I look forward to doing that live stream tomorrow.
Heck yeah. What else we got?
Next up, I'm going to talk about some website updates. Last month, I had mentioned I did some image optimizations so that pages load quicker. Since then, I've been drafting more guides and pages for community projects in order to flesh out the website some more. We're setting up project pages for the fan dub, the reverse engineering platform for that live stream tomorrow, and a few other things. There are also some surprise additions to the site that I will be unveiling throughout the month of October. I should mention that I post some sneak peeks here and there in the website channel of our Discord server on occasion. Hint, hint, nudge, nudge. You should check that out once in a while in case I post some juicy stuff in advance. And finally, this is not so much LOD. It's not exactly about LOD, but it's, you know, there's a name that's similar. And a pronunciation warning, I'm probably going to pronounce some of these names wrong. But on September 26th, just a few days before this broadcast, NASA had their DART spacecraft reach and make contact with a near-Earth object called Dimorphos, which is a minor planet moon orbiting the Didymos asteroid. The DART abbreviation stands for Double Asteroid Redirection Test, and it's the first step in doing planetary defense stuff, in case we have like an asteroid that does end up being on a collision course with Earth. This one was not. It was just to test it out. Since the impact 3 days ago, it can be reasoned that this was DART's final burst. And with that pun, we are now fully prepared for the main segment of the show.
Final burst!
Thank you. Honestly, having planetary defense in our lifetime is a pretty amazing concept, but I think they should just use Dragoons instead. Like, has no one at NASA ever heard of Meteor Strike? It's in the name.
That's how Kong will fly up there and hit it.
Yeah, you can say the name out loud, even though no one will probably hear you in space, because the whole in space, no one can hear you scream things, so. But you can still do it anyway for your own edification, or just knock that asteroid out of the sky.
Heck yeah.
Anywho's. Moving on to our main segment, which is speedrunning. So speedrunning is where someone plays through a game as quickly as they can, sometimes just a specific area or the entire game. Role-playing games like Legend of Dragoon are on the long side, but there are still some speedrunners as well as ways to try and shorten the time. My featured co-host today is Black Death Doom, who already introduced himself, and he's going to tell us some more about it. So Hi, welcome Black Death Doom to our podcast, and I'd like to talk to you about speedrunning.
Thanks for having me. Yeah, speedrunning is like my main focus for several years now, really. I think I've been speedrunning for 6 years. Yeah, 6 years, almost 6 years now. I've always been speedrunning Legend of Dragoon for about 4 years, though. Yeah, it's pretty interesting having to beat the game as fast as possible and finding new ways to do it, and a lot of people help. A lot of people, not really as much for this game, but how other people look at it and figure out things that you would never even thought of in a million years.
Yeah. It kind of helps you learn more about some of the game mechanics in a special way.
Oh yeah, it's weird. It's weird how much you learn having to actually do it perfectly every time as fast as possible.
Now, the actual leaderboards, those are actually hosted on a separate website that's dedicated to speedruns in general called speedrun.com. Over there, you can search for Legend of Dragoon and find the current leaderboards for world records in various categories and things like that.
Yeah, speedruns are all community-based, so I'm a mod over the boards there. So if anyone wanted to get into speedrunning, they can make up a category, and I'd look at it and add it, really, to be honest. Because there's never too many categories, really.
Mm-hmm.
Some games have like just 10 empty categories. No one does any runs.
But we did get some new categories that had some usage recently. One of those would have been the Faust category.
Oh yeah, that's not that new, but yeah, we've been routing all these categories too.
I remember when I think it was Beastard Snow who decided to try and start the category and did their first run, and it was like 22 hours or something like that.
Yeah, now it's like 9 hours. I think my world record is 9:13 or something, Faust.
So let's talk a little about how speedrunning started for LOD. I personally tried to check, and the earliest time I could find was from maybe 2012 or 2013, and it was about 14 hours long for the regular Any Percent.
There was a lot of things back then not known, not tested, not known, and not tried, which speedrunning is all about testing and trying and learning. And what makes a good speedrun game is consistency. So this is the game's actually really, really consistent. The most things that are random are just turn orders and battles, and that's about it. Everything else is set in stone almost, based on what you do, how you do it, where you do it.
So first we had what is commonly called routes, is that people will discover the most optimal ways to run the game as quickly as possible, like a certain path through the game, whether it's LOD or like a racing game, a certain like racing line or path, whatever, certain shortcuts if those are available. And so with LOD, the route kind of also involves which character you choose to play as, partly because of the XP system being all cattywampus. It kind of ends up incentivizing you to play with only one active character in the party anyway, where two characters fall during boss battles and then one character gets all of the experience points.
Yes, it's very... back in the day, they would just use whichever characters were best for that fight and have them all survive, which was not optimal. That's why it took 14 hours. So we cut 4 hours off by many, many ways. Many, many different ways to beat the game fast. And route is definitely very important. It's every single menu and who you put in, what items you put on, what items you buy, and how you do it, how you fight the bosses. So in, obviously, Dragoon, all the bosses give all the experience. They give a lot of experience, actually, compared to like random battles, they give nothing. So we skip all the random battles with Triumph Potions, of course. And back in the day, they would have a dart route. So it went from no experience funneling and using dart and all three characters. Then they discovered experience funneling. So then they started killing two characters in every boss fight, so dart would get all the experience. And then we learned that dart is actually pretty bad. He's a pretty bad character stat-wise. And the better characters are going to be magic attack. And in the English version, magic is the very, very high damaging. So we want to use our highest magic damaging character, which is Miranda. She also has a high speed. Yep. That's actually when I got, when I started speedrunning is when they discovered the Miranda route. So I never, I only ran the dart route like once at the very start. And ever since then, it's been all Miranda for me.
Makes sense. Since then, we've had the evolution into skippable category. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Ooh, the, yeah, the debug room is crazy. It's so we've known about the debug room for like since 2008 or something. There was a post on GameFAQs about getting to the debug room with a GameShark. So then like 10 years later, someone discovered how to do it without GameShark. And then just a year ago, my boy, my friend Lasagna, who was another speedrunner, pretty much figured out the most important part of how to get to the debug room. So, debug room, if you didn't know, is an area the developers used in the beginning during developing to test the game. So they would have easy warps to the game. They wouldn't have to play through the whole game from scratch every time to test it. So they would have warps. So it's an area outside of the game. You shouldn't be able to access in the game, but they left it in the game because they couldn't access it. They're like, all right, no one can. There's actually other games like Final Fantasy VII PC port. That game, that has a debug room as well, which is actually better than. Anyway, yeah, I'll talk about that later. But so we had to figure out how to get to the debug room. How to do that is a save corruption. So save corruption is a pretty well-known thing in other games as well, like Chrono Trigger and such, where you would reset the console, or in Legend of Dragoon case, we would reset the console at a certain frame during the save. That's hence save corruption. So there was many, many problems with getting a debug room. The first was how to get there, of course, so we figured that out by save corruption. There was several videos on YouTube that Lasagna was able to back figure how to actually do it. But then we ran into other problems with the ghost data. So the data on the memory card slot that you are using to get to the debug room, actually the data that was on there that you deleted is very important. So it has to be zero data or else it'll send you somewhere completely different than the debug room. It'll give you completely different stats, completely different items based on the data that's on the memory card, even though you deleted data and then you replace that data with the debug room save, with a save corruption to get to the debug room. But if the data has ghost data, you would end up anywhere else than the debug room, basically. So we had to figure out how to clear the data back to quote-unquote zero data.
You know, it almost sounds like other games like Monster Rancher, where you could, like, scan something else, and it would give you some kind of output.
Yeah, it was a really long process, actually. Like last year, I remember we were messing around with it. And I just couldn't get to work until Lasagna figured out that we needed zero data in our memory card. So there's only certain games that once you delete them will leave residual zero data on the memory slot, which enables all the memory. So once you get to the debug room, if you have zero data, which is, I only know two games actually that are zero data games for Legend of Dragoon, which are Mega Man X 4 and Metal Gear Solid. Those two games have zero data, so you can use those save datas to erase and then warp the debug room from. It's kind of pretty interesting.
That's really incredible.
Yeah, I have a Mega Man X4 and it works, and yeah, Lasagna has a Metal Gear Solid and it works. I don't know of any other game that actually works, to be honest. Those are the ones we use.
Clearly, it's a very convoluted and laborious process, but it does have the benefit of the large time cuts. I believe Lasagna currently has the record with 2 hours and 53 minutes.
Yeah, it basically saves 7 hours of the speed run, which is gigantic. The only problem is it's so hard to execute over that it's basically no one likes doing it. Even me and Lasagna don't like doing it, so we usually just do the full runs instead.
Just a funny little extra.
There's actually a lot more I can go into depth on the debug room. It's pretty convoluted because that's like one of the many, many issues we had. So you would need zero data, okay? And you would need actually to get to the debug room, the save corruption, you know, resetting your console isn't that tight. of a window. You have like a 1/10 of a second to reset your console to get to the debug room. There's actually others. So we use Save Corruption in other spots during the run as well. So once you get to the debug room with the zero data, the zero data means that all the data in the game is replaced by zeros, or is it filled in by zeros. So that means broadsword is the zero item. So all your inventory slots and all your arm slots are filled with broadswords. You got your zero gold, and dart is the zero data character. So all your character slots are filled with dart. And all your levels are zero. So that's a problem. We can't beat the game with level zero, can we? Nope, definitely not. So we had to fix that. And the way to do that is Save Corruption. Save Corruption fixes everything. So you would need to basically get a save before you go to the you make a save before you go to the debug room. And then you go to the debug room. And then you save over the save with Save Corruption from back where you were with the starting levels. So the save before the debug room has the starting levels. Everyone has a starting level. And after the debug room. So you save over the... So you go to the debug room, you go wherever you're going. In the speedrun case, we're going to the Mayfill, which lets us go back to Xenobotos. Because if you warp straight to Xenobotos from the debug room, there's a glitch that happens and you can't progress the game from some certain point, I can't remember. Anyway, this is really, really complicated, really, really convoluted, but it took a long time to figure all this stuff out, but we finally did it. And it's been a journey, that's for sure.
Something that we had talked about briefly in our little practice run, I wanted to cover again here. I asked you about how I thought you were doing a thing where you were trying to just, because the levels are all screwed up, you were trying to just get Miranda at the stock level, and you had told me that you actually had found a way to ascend past that need. But can you talk to that a little bit?
Oh yeah, there's many different routing decisions when it comes to the debug room as well. So we actually got a question here from Zikara. They asked how much are we skipping in the debug room? So yeah, we're skipping basically disc 1 to disc 4, like you were saying, and we're going from boss to boss. So when you go to the debug room, all the flags are still not ticked. So everything you would have to, if you go anywhere, you have to watch the cutscenes that are normally there normally. And sometimes it'll break if you go to the wrong places. Like if you go to the Evergreen Forest from the Deningrad side, the game just breaks because the cutscene's there on that screen. So you never want to go, if you go to the debug room and go to the end and you go back to the Evergreen Forest, don't go to that last screen on the left or else the game will break. There's many other places like that too. Like if you beat Kraken, you go back through the Aglis, yeah, all the cutscenes are going to break in the game. So, there's lots of routing when it came to the debug room as well. So Lasagna's World Record is actually not the most current route, and no one's actually finished the most current route because it's kind of ridiculous what you need to do. So in Lasagna's World Record, he duped Wendigos for experience on Miranda two times. So he would just kill Wendigo and then do a Save Corruption with, like I was saying, to fix the levels. You would need a save before and a save after. So you would basically replace the save before levels with the save after levels. So you would have all the items. So at the same time, you could save corrupt to dupe bosses and dupe items. Like you, so Lasagna's route, he duped 3 Wendigos for experience, and then he duped, 16 psychedelic bomb X's for Melbu Frama. So that was his route, but the current route that no one's ever done yet is I found there's actually when save corrupting, you can actually glitch the game into giving you super high levels. So there's many different frames of this. You can get like level 99 Lavitz and level 60 Dart or 62 Kongle and stuff like that. But any so the game only has level 1 to 60, you know. So anything that's not 1 to 60 is actually broken, and you're not going to be able to beat the game with that. So we need something between 1 and 60. So there's actually one particular frame in Save Corruption that gives Rose level 46 and Hashel level 47, which Hashel is actually one of the strongest characters, so we can use him to beat the game from there. So that's actually one, one frame. So that's 1 in 60 seconds to get that in Save Corruption. So you need to reset your console and I frame perfectly to get that, to get those levels. So no one's ever actually finished a run. I almost did one time, but I died at Melbu From. It was kind of a rage inducing.
That requires a lot of luck to get 1 in 60 frames.
Yeah, so the basically debug room route is so we want to do a save corruption to get to the debug room. We want to do a save corruption to fix our levels, and then we want to pick up all the items we need to beat the game. So like I was saying about FF7 has a debug room, and there in FF7's debug room there's actually an area to level your characters and max all your stats in like 2 seconds. Legend of Dragoon does not have that, so it's kind of really, really hard. Even though we can get the debug room, so we had to pick up a lot of items that we need and get the levels that we need to beat the game. Still, we can't just, you know, break the game completely.
Yeah.
And another thing I discovered is actually we can couple the save corruption with save anywhere glitch. So we can actually, so the furthest part you can get to in the debug room is the beginning of the moon after the Imago fight. You know, at the very start of the moon, when Dart first jumps into the moon, that's the furthest point you can go in the debug room. Well, I had the brilliant idea to actually use save anywhere glitch as well, and actually carry the save anywhere glitch. If you didn't know, you can die on a save point, and then when you reload the game, you can save anywhere. And we need to save to use save corruption, of course. So there's no save point past that right there at the moon, and we had to fight Miranda's fight, which game overs us because, you know, Miranda's level 0. So we need to be able to fix our levels between there. So we're actually able to, using save anywhere glitch, we're able to warp to the very last point that we possibly can with the debug room and save right there and fix our levels right there with the save anywhere glitch. So it's really crazy how much stuff's improved. So I think we can actually get Lasagna's time down by 30 minutes if someone actually gets really, really lucky with the, you know, one frame save. Save corruption.
Wow, so just like a 2-hour run. It's almost like y'all are literally opening pocket dimensions, just like in the game with the lore.
Yeah, it's crazy how the route has evolved and changed over the last year, especially debug room. We're probably on like the 6th iteration, and Lasagna's run that he never feels like doing another run because it's painful. It's really painful to get all the save corruptions you need.
Fair enough. We have a question from Ubermedic. Since I don't recall, does the debug room lead to other test rooms or only areas that can be accessed normally?
Yeah, only. So there's a room for every disc in the debug room, and they just warp to every position in that disc, basically. It's the start of the area in every single disc. So, like, disc 1 is Bale and Hoax, just the very starting of it, the area. And, like I said, the furthest part you can go to is at the start of the moon. Just kind of weird, can't like warp like Final Fantasy 7, you just warp straight to the final boss. So the debug room's kind of annoying and cool at the same time. Yeah, it's pretty interesting. Let's see what I miss.
What are some of the other speedrunners besides yourself and Lasagna?
It's basically just us. There's been a few other runners who've ran over time, but no one's kept with it really. Me and Lasagna are the only ones that were still running. There's actually Big Salty. He just started learning, though. We've been trying to teach him. And then Dylan, of course, has the 80% non-turbo world record because that was like when we first discovered the debug room. We were telling him how to do it, and he just did it on just following what we told him to do in chat. We were just leading him through the game, and I haven't felt like beating the game. Felt like doing the run to just beat his time. I just let him have it for a while.
Mm-hmm. Like a good manner thing. All right, how about recent accomplishments? I know there's at least one thing you can mention.
Oh yeah, I've been rerouting the Japanese full run lately because I can't finish a debug JP run because of the frame perfect save corruption. It's really annoying, but anyway, I've been rerouting the JP full run, which is I got down to 12:46 right now, 12 hours and 46 minutes. But I recently just discovered a few different things that are going to save even more time on that run. Probably another half hour at least. Yeah, many, many things on the JP were changing. It's basically becoming like the English, more and more like the English run. except we need to use a, can't use Miranda since magic is so weak. And we don't have enough items for the Melbu. That's actually in the English full run. That's why we have to use Hashel as well. Otherwise, we just use like Maru and have her throw items too. But we don't have enough room for items, for all those items we would need to throw on Melbu.
Right.
Yeah, so it's really, 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 really well routed exactly how many items you need and exactly where you need to use them and exactly who you're using and who's dying.
Yeah, so the thing that many may not realize about speedruns is that when you get to the higher level fine-tuning, it's very much a mathematical and calculated process, and you're at the whim of RNG in some cases, but you're trying to calculate that down as much as you can.
Yeah, it's this game doesn't have much RNG other than like turn order. Everything else is pretty much well set in stone. That as long as you have the correct stats with the correct characters out, there's only certain things that can happen in the battles. That you would just have the items to prepare. You would have everything you would need in case that anything happens.
We have a question from Nogard. Nogard also is the project lead for the fan dub that is ongoing. So, hi, Nogard. Thank you so much for doing that for the community and getting all those volunteers together to make that beautiful project happen. You can find the fan dub through our website, legendofdragoon.org, as well. Nogard asks, what about Maru and Rose for speedruns? How do they handle? I know Maru is high on speed, but how good is it really?
It's not good. We actually only use for the English version, we use Rose in disc one because her starting magic attack stat is actually really, really high. And Shauna, you know, is forced to die and forced out of party just through the story in the beginning of the game. So we have to actually use Rose for disc one. And we actually use Rose and Shauna for Dold. And then after that is all Shauna and Miranda. And we don't use Maru at all anymore. We used to actually use Maru to die in a few fights, but we don't anymore because we actually want characters who don't have any evasion to die in fights because it's, you know, easier for characters who don't have any evasion to die, which are Dart, Albert, and Kongle are the three characters that have no natural evasion.
If you're using characters that are dying on purpose for EXP funneling, so only one active party member gets the EXP, you want a character to die who doesn't actually evade attacks.
Yeah, it's pretty annoying when you want them to die and they get missed on. There's like, Lloyd's missed. Too slow.
Over here.
But actually the Japanese version, we use Rose and Maru. We use basically everyone a lot more because we need the damage from them. So, like, we actually use Maru as soon as we get her because she's stronger than anyone else. And we use her, she dies, of course, but we still need her damage. Like, for Viraj 2 and Garrosh, those are actually really hard fights in the Japanese version. But we actually discovered that Twister Rave, or Rave Twister, or whichever.
Rave Twister.
Rave Twister, yeah. Rave Twister is actually broken in the Japanese, or it's the same as a Psychedelic Bomb and single attack item damage. So we can actually target every single part of the Viraj 2 and make the fight way safer. And we can kill Mappy and Garrosh at the same time, which is faster as well. Actually really, really nice.
Do you have to stockpile those well in advance, or does it happen to be sold at a nearby store?
Yep, it's sold in Dino, the Flower City. So right before the fights, it's perfect. It works out really perfectly.
That's lucky. Nice.
Yeah, and we're actually going to try. I haven't tested yet. I'm still like halfway through the game, rerouting. So I want to test now that I know those are broken. I'm gonna try to use them on Grand Jewel and do a different party comp. So before I did just Hashel and Albert, had them both survive on Grand Jewel because that's a really hard fight, and we want to actually do a heal skip. So we need to do enough damage to be able to kill him in one turn before he heals. So we get him down to the threshold of his heal, and then we wait for him to take a turn, and then we kill him. So we needed the Hashel and Albert, which was actually our main two characters in the JP version, other than every other character we used to die, basically. So instead, I'm going to try Miranda on that fight with Rave Twisters and see if she can do it.
I'm going to, in my next JP playthrough, I'm going to have to buy some of those Rave Twisters myself.
Yeah, they're actually really, really nice, especially with Maru, and because we usually get her, so she's a set level, so we know exactly how much damage she does. Hasn't died yet. Let's put it that way. She hadn't died yet.
Plus, it works out for me because Rave Twister is one of my favorite spells in terms of sound and graphics. So you've got all these like vortexes overlapping each other, these whirlwinds combining, and just whatever that sound effect is, I love that sound effect, and I love how it just stacks on top of each other. It's really cool.
Yeah, it is really cool. Yeah, it was a really I just discovered that the other day because there's a chest before Lloyd that has one. And the items are really tight for Lloyd because where you throw items on him with Miranda in the JP version, she dies. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I picked up that chest and I was like, wait, why does this do the same damage? Yeah, it was a weird broken thing.
We're always finding out new little things, even after excavating most everything we could possibly research by this point, which is like 5 years of active research between me and others. There's still other things cropping up that's just like, this is ridiculous. Why is all this stuff showing up?
Yeah, it's just I learn something new almost every week, it seems like. So now that I've been grinding out JP, I've been learning actually a lot about JP. It's actually not as hard as I would have thought it was. It was just the route wasn't good. Mm-hmm. Uber has a question. UberMedic7 has a question. How do you much to the fact that you do speedruns that require a long playtime? It seems really tiresome. Yeah, it is very tiresome. It's basically a full-time job if you wanted gonna speedrun the full run of certain JRPGs like this. You basically gotta look at like a job or just take a full day. You need just a full day to do it. Or just don't sleep.
It's almost like it's very different, but it feels a little bit like regular esports competitions where I had been a fan of StarCraft as a kid. I didn't play the regular ladder mode because it gave me what they call ladder anxiety. For some reason, I have no anxiety PvPing in certain games, but I do get anxiety PvPing in other games like StarCraft. So I didn't know much about it. I played custom maps. And then later, StarCraft 2 became a thing in my adult life. And I was like, oh, StarCraft 2 is going to be a thing. This is really cool. And this is like 2012 or whatever it was. And they had the expansions and the esports scene got really big around it with like the GSL and everything, in South Korea, I believe. And, where was I going with this? Give me a sec to reset. They had to play against the best players in the world in these tournaments, like these global tournaments, you have to, it's basically expected to practice like 6, 8, 10 hours a day, just all ladder practice, just basically means practicing the regular game mode with no custom scripts or anything, where you start with one base and then you expand to other bases and you're mining resources to build all your troops and everything. And it's just, there was so many live streams, even still today on Twitch and YouTube, of people just running so many hours in a row. And it feels like a full-time job, you know, to be able to keep up with that.
Oh yeah, it definitely is. And speedrunning is for sure an esport. You compete against yourself mostly, but you obviously, the final goal is to get the world record, to be the best in the world, that we know of anyway. There's a meme about there's someone else faster who hasn't recorded a run.
I should clarify that, you know, some people do it to compete against others and try to be the best in the world, but also there is also a validity to speedrunning if you just want to see what your personal best is. It's not necessarily about beating other people. It's about, you know, seeing how you measure up, you know?
Yes, that's the most important part in my measurement is how better I am against myself from the last run I did. Not necessarily anyone else matters. Although it's always nice to gloat. Like me and Lasagna have a fun banter. Yeah,
I don't remember if I said it before, but congrats on your new world record, by the way.
Yeah, I'm gonna improve that sooner than later, like with all the new routes we got, with all the new improvements of the route we got.
So you did mention the Rave Twister discovery. Were there some other discoveries that you learned about LOD? Because of doing the speedruns in particular?
Oh, so many is like beyond remembrance of how many things I learned. It's like now they're just second nature. But turn order, apparently monsters or enemies are coded in such a way that they could take 0 to X turns during their turn. So they have a turn like normally scripted, but they could take any amount of turns depending on RNG in that turn. And it's nothing. It's a pretty well noticeable on like Virage in English, Virage 2 in English, that he would just sometimes not take any turns, or sometimes he'd take 10 turns in a row or whatever. But in JP, it's actually an even bigger modifier, like basically double. They could take double the amount of turns they could usually take in English. So that's what lends to JP being so much harder. But yeah, that's
pretty ridiculous.
Yeah, it is pretty ridiculous. Like sometimes you just win easy, and then sometimes they just kill you. Nothing you do about it.
You get raffle stomped.
Yeah. Let's see. What else? Man, there's so much. I basically learned everything I know from speedrunning. No, I knew quite a bit before I started speedrunning, but I could just mathematically experience funneling. That was the first thing. It's like, oh yeah, it is mathematically just better just to experience funnel with one character. Especially once you get all 7 characters, the math works out that all the characters, you're going to get more total experience overall having 2 characters die.
Yeah, then 2 are very low and 5 are a lot higher than they would be.
Yeah. Yeah, and you don't even need the 2 characters. Like darts, even a maxed out dart getting experience isn't very good, to be honest. Like I've done a dart route several times on casual playthroughs and it's just not good. He's just not as good as Hatchel or Maru even, or definitely not as good as Miranda. Oh man, what did I just learn the other day too? There was some chests are different, like some cutscenes are different in the Japanese version. It's kind of weird. There's actually, if you go to Dino after beating Linus, before you go back to Lohan, Maru's going to tell you to go back to Lohan in a 10-second cutscene or a 5-15-second cutscene. That's not in English. So
there's really?
Yeah, in Japanese, the game, if you don't pick up Kongle's Divine Dragon Spirit, Golden Dragon Spirit, in Japanese, the game will actually tell you to go back into Lohan and pick it up or do something in Lohan. It just mentions in Lohan. And so, Kongle's Dragoon Spirit is actually more likely to be picked up in Disc 2 on JP by casual playthroughs than it will be on English.
Okay, I'm putting the brakes. Stop everything. We have talked so many times just in general message boards on the internet and now in our more unified community on Discord and everything about how, oh, you know, if we were doing, talking about remake improvements, like one of them would be give a required dialogue clue by a short time after getting Kongle, make interacting with Pelpy required somehow in that Donau bar. And we were like, oh, we should put something like that in there just to make sure, you know, that people know it's an option. And you're telling me that the devs actually did do something and we just never knew it. And it's only for the Japanese edition. So why did they take it out?
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. Why did they take it out?
What?
I don't know what she's saying. All I know, she says Lohan and yellow text Lohan.
It's so ridiculous, I don't want to believe you.
Yeah, I know. I can't read Japanese, but I just, you know, I have the English game memorized, and I...
Okay.
So I just play from my English knowledge.
This is more reason. We're kind of halfway through, we're at a roadblock with one of our other community projects where we want to try and dump the Japanese script. The Flying Zamboni dumped the English script, but to do the Japanese script is more work because character mapping and all this stuff. So we need to find another volunteer who can do that. TFZ is busy with the upscale and some other stuff right now because we were going to just retranslate from JP to English in a higher quality to recapture some of the lost intent of the original script. And the other thing is extra content like that. I knew that there was like a... in the reverse, actually, we get a shopkeeper in Kazaz, or the Black Castle,
Black
that
Castle,
is not
yep.
present... that is not present in JP, but is present in at least the North American release. And now it's, you're telling me the inverse of, they have something in JP that is not in NA, and it's literally a thing that I can't think of a good reason not to include that beyond it caused a bug and they didn't have time to fix it.
That, I mean, that's the only good explanation of why they took it out.
I don't know. Why would they do that? I want to find the coder and ask, why would you do this?
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly what she said. All I know is she says Lohan in yellow text and a bunch of other things.
That is so cool and weird and frustrating.
Oh, oh man, there's so many. Okay, let's see what else. Of course, the pocket station stuff. From
hey, a quick edit to mention that it wasn't actually about Kongo's dragoon spirit after all. The line with Dart and Maru is actually about going back to talk to DeBoss about the shiny bag. So it was not actually about Kongo's dragoon spirit.
And DeBoss explains the pocket station stuff if you go back into a shop after you talk to him the first time.
Yeah. That is something we happen to know about. We were lucky to be able to map out like what the rewards are for that minigame, and Corey even wants to try and get it to work for the North American release with the reverse engineering project, so hopefully we can do that as a nice surprise for everybody. Because I don't know if you know this, BDD, but the code is still sitting there. We just need to activate it and put text in those empty highlight fields on the menu.
I would love to see the text. That's probably the next big discovery in Legend of Dragoon speedrunning is AI manip or RNG manip.
Oh, yeah.
Because if you have any clue about a Final Fantasy X speedrun, they have a program that totally maps out every single seed's RNG. Like what you steal, what you get, what enemies you encounter, everything is mapped out based on like damage rules. So I think if we actually... we're serious about speedrunning, we'd have the same kind of tool that can map out turn order on bosses, and we would have even faster times.
We actually, you would probably have to create a rule that allows it, or a category that allows it, but currently the Dragoon Modifier modding suite does reveal turn order. It's just a simple show of like who's next in line, but it could really help you plan out if you would like to look into that.
Yeah, that would be nice, but I'm talking more like making a good turn order in certain fights where we need good turn order, where it's huge. I imagine, I'm not sure exactly how RNG works, but it seems to be something to do with movement and threat encounter and armed equipment.
Yeah, it's kind of like a pseudo random algorithmic kind of a weird thing. I had... there's nothing this sophisticated for the thing I'm about to mention, but I've spoken before about Golden Sun, a video game on Game Boy Advance. It's a role-playing game on Game Boy Advance from Camelot Software. I'm a big fan of it, too, and one of the things I learned just going to the wiki to try to learn about like rare equipment, I was like, oh, this dropped from a monster. What is this? And I wanted to learn more, and it turns out that on some of the wiki pages for the rare drops from monsters, they actually list there's like proven methods to get them. So even though the real chance on average is say, you know, 2% or 10% or whatever the rate is, they can say like get into a battle with three of the same enemy, like a certain enemy formation. And then you take certain actions, like Isaac attacks and Mia defends and Ivan uses a magic spell, and the enemies should fall in the correct order, and if they do, you're basically guaranteeing the drop. We don't have that yet for LOD, but I wonder if one day we will, where, you know, you get into a certain formation, you do certain actions with your characters at certain levels or certain equipment, and, like, can guarantee the Bandit's Ring drop, perhaps, or the even harder stuff, like a Dancer's Ring from Puck and in Kadessa.
Yeah, actually, the JP route, we need the Bandit Ring from Drake, so the 80% of the runs are rip at that point if we don't get the Bandit Ring.
At least it's early on in the game if you have to reset.
Well, I'm not resetting at that point. It's a 12-hour run. 2 hours in, reset? No. That's too much. 14 hours is a little bit too much, even though I've done the 99% speed run, which is 30 hours in a one stream before. That's kind of a one-off thing, though. I don't want to do that again, I don't think.
Oh, yeah. That's totally fair. I mean, LOD isn't naturally meant for speedruns. Most RPGs are not. And, you know, originally it was supposed to be a thing for games that were naturally fast, like recent games where the track is 2 minutes long, you know, stuff like that. And you could run that like hundreds of times and not even break a sweat.
Yeah, then crazy people started running Legend of Dragoon.
Yep.
10 hour speedrun at best.
Is it really any more crazy than anyone who is doing that stuff where, like, they do a track on Mario Kart and they get it down to, like, a lap is 2 seconds?
Yeah. Not really.
Because that's not really much different, in my opinion.
Yeah. I really don't like shorter games because of how meticulous you have to be every single time. Like, in this game, there's still room for a lot of errors you can make and still just whatever go on doesn't matter too much. Because there's not many runners who wants to spend 10 hours speedrunning. And other shorter games, there's way more speedrunners doing way more resets over and over and over again, getting way better. So, yeah, there's still a lot of progress we can make in this game for sure.
I'd like to briefly circle back to what we were talking about with the translating the text. Because another benefit of being on the community Discord server for Legend of Dragoon is that we hear anything that we discover, whether it's, you know, me doing my research in archivism or modders doing modding stuff, or just looking at, you know, the JP screenshots and having someone translate them. We were trying to translate the menu for the DeBoss interface on LOD side, not the minigame. And Zychronix, I think, I told him to post in the translation channel and tag Char. Char has helped a bunch in the past and even again recently with various LOD translations, mainly the JP guidebook, which has been a gold mine for us in terms of extra lore and game mechanics info. And so the screenshots were posted and Char's like, well, this means that, and this means that, and this means that. Both for the Pocket Station interface and the menu, actually. And so that enabled Corey to start creating English text for those menus.
Yeah, that's cool.
Pretty wild.
Yeah, all I know in Japanese is the elements. So I can read, like, if I have a spinning gale and a translite, I know which the difference is. So all I do is look on the quantity, and that's the only thing I read is the position and the quantity. And that's about it. That's all I can do is the element. I know what the couple elements look like. Because the text on those items are exactly the same, except the first character is the element. Mm-hmm. So that's really all I need to know about Japanese to run this Japanese game, full game.
Eventually you get used to it, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's just muscle memory.
I have a random question for you from reading the general chat. They're talking about, again, pronunciations may vary, sachets or sachets. And I was curious if during speedrun routing, whether it's an old route or the current route, is there ever any decent use to use the free sachets you get from, like, Giongo and that chest around
yes.
there in Helena?
Yes, yes, we do. In the JP version, we use sachet to kill Wendigo. Once his heart is exposed, the heart has three health. You normally only do one damage to it, but Sachet, of course, does 10. So we open the heart and kill him in one hit from Sachet.
I still don't know. That's actually one reason we should translate the 300-page walkthrough at some point, or at least the certain page for Wendigo, to see if they actually intended this mechanic so that you could just kill the Wendigo with one hit on the heart, use the Sachet. We haven't translated the walkthrough yet, but I should probably pick out that page, shouldn't I?
Yeah, there's actually Wendigo is like one of the most well known bosses in terms of how he functions for him, for me anyway, because he counters attacks, so he'll put the icicles out after eight normal attacks. So that's his phase into the opening the heart. He had to kill the icicles, then the heart opens after 8 attacks, and he counters attacks. There's a lot of things in that fight where it's pretty, especially the JP version is very, very consistent. Of course, in the English version, we just throw burnouts and kill him really quick with Miranda. Yeah, we don't do the sachet in English because he's a pushover with the burnouts. She does like 4K of damage with burnouts on him.
Oh, that's a lot.
Yeah, in JP, we barely do anything, so we have to manip the heart opening and throw a sachet on it. Let's see, what else? Also, yeah, we just sell them for gold other than that. Because they are worth 200 gold. That's a lot of gold.
Mm-hmm.
And they're pretty relatively quick pickups. I think there's 3 pickups total in the game. 2 from the Giongo area and 1 from Valley of Corrupted Gravity.
Yeah, something like that. We've got a question from Nogard. What is the Queen Fury chest area like? They're talking about when you go to the Phantom Ship.
Oh, yeah,
is
yeah.
that used at all?
Yeah, we actually have to do that minigame all the way to the Ultimate War God in 99%. So we actually have a pretty good grasp of how to complete it. But the last couple, of course, are just guessing. We're just guessing at the end because we only have like 3, 4, 4, and 2 at the end.
Yeah, only 2 guesses you can easily get wrong no matter how good you are because you just don't get enough tries to narrow it down.
Yeah, yeah, I think you can get it consistently with 6 guesses or 6 in 6 ways no matter the numbers using elimination.
What do you use that 5,000 gold on when you sell it?
No, we don't sell it. We need every single item in the game for 99%. So that's one of the items we need.
Oh, the completion run. Got it.
We just need that in the 99%. So we just do that. And if we get unlucky, we just reset or rip the run there. It's kind of annoying, but whatever. It cost 10K, so we don't have enough time to grind for 10K. So we just rip the run if we don't get it fast enough.
I think that segues into another good question. What is not included in the 99% run? Why is it 99%?
The 99% is just a meme, really. Death to Me or Death Tome, however you want to say it. Yeah, made the category because 99 is actually 99 editions. 99 all editions is the reason why it's called 99%. Because you max out every single edition at 99. So that's why, instead of 80, which would be the logical thing to do, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. So it's basically a 100% category.
Except there's no level 60 on all characters. Level 60 on all characters, I would say, would be definitely included in a 100% run.
That's fair.
And there's no, you won't have to pick up all the chests. That's another thing I would say would be kind of considered maybe part of 100%. Most speedrun categories are arbitrary and just meme names. The community comes together and agrees. Or one of the mods, like Death Tome, just makes a meme category for fun. And then some stupid person like me runs it. Yeah, most of the category names are just memes. Like, Any% Classic now, it was Any%, the old Any% before the debug room. Now it's called Any% Classic. It's more like a no major glitch or a no debug room percent. No save corruption percent, really. It's not really an Any% anymore.
I should mention that for anyone who may wish to try speedrunning but is a little intimidated by the time requirement of at least 10 plus hours, it's also valid to just run one disc if you want, just to see if it's for you at all. So just do a disc one run. It's, what, like 3 hours, something like that?
Yeah, 3+ hours. For a new person, probably going to take like 4 hours. So
yeah,
first run's probably like 4 hours.
That'll be a safer and easier commitment if you just want to, get your feet wet and try it out a little bit.
Yeah, there's like I said, there's a new runner doing that, and he's basically only doing disc one runs because he doesn't have time to do anything else, which is totally fine. There's a category for that. You want to do that? Go ahead. And like I said, if there's any other way you want to play the game fast, we're open to suggestions of categories that anyone, if someone wants to run it and they run it and they have a VOD, just send it to me and I'll take a look and we'll decide on the category rules.
I have 2 more things I would like to mention. Let's see here. So, well, I was talking to Corey, aka Monoxide, who is doing the basically the unofficial PC port, which is even more optimized and going to be more powerful with mods than emulators. He had expressed interest in having that be used for speedruns, and I was hoping that yourself and any of the other moderators at the LOD speedrun community would be open to at least the idea of it or entertaining it and giving it a try because, I mean, there's just a lot of cool possibilities there, I think.
For sure. In my opinion, that speedrunning is all about the community. And so whatever the community wants to do, we should embrace. Like, there's no wrong way to speedrun a game. So if there's mod percent, yeah, sure. Just if you want to just do whatever you want and make up a run and do it yourself, that's how, I mean, you can't really force anyone else to do it, but you can do it yourself. Mm-hmm. You can do it yourself all you want, and you can message me and show me what you did, and we can post on the forum, see what everyone else thinks about it.
Yep. Part of what we're planning to do anyway is a mod manager. So a little button in our, we're going to have a launcher that comes up, and the launcher will make sure the game is all in order with the files, then give you a launch button. But we'll also have a little mod manager on the side that lets you choose which things you do or don't want to play with, such as replacing Dart, and he's not a required character anymore, and all this other stuff. And I feel that certain elements of the mod manager may be suitable for speedruns, where if we ever did speedrun challenges, if you will, like a speedrun with no items or a speedrun with some other random limitation, people could run this reverse engineered platform of LOD and enable that, and then like they can't even accidentally use that forbidden thing. It would just be running like that the whole run, you know?
That is pretty cool. I've done many, many, many different kind of challenge runs. Like, I've beaten the game like every single way you can think of. No items, no dragoons, no shopping, everything, no additions, random characters. Yeah, it's really fun to beat the game in different ways, that's for sure. But that's really cool that mod can do that.
And it works for both casual playthroughs and speedrunning, so that's like a double benefit. I love when we have community projects or just things we're working on that end up kind of cross-benefiting multiple things we're doing, and there's like this huge extra benefit. Like, for example, with the fan dub that No Guard is spearheading, I'm hoping that it's possible to eventually get permission from like those voice artists who are doing the voices for Dart and Lavitz and, you know, shouting those additions, and seeing if we could get that packaged into like a audio mod for LOD so that you can play with new character voiceovers if you like, you know, and that way there's just this mutual cross benefit. I don't have the exact words right now, but you get the idea.
Yeah, that's really cool. I always do my own voice acting. Volcano! And yeah, community is like a big old feedback loop. Everyone helps each other, and it all goes back to the original source and helps them even.
The last thing I'd like to mention is speedrunning data on the website. Now, I don't know what I personally can do with my skill level and what I might be able to learn or get to work or not. But I recently was doing research for another fandom, the Hydro Thunder community, and part of what they wanted to do is include speedrun world records on the little website shrine I'm going to help them build. And then I thought, well, wait a minute, could we also do that for LOD and kind of just embed the live times from speedrun.com, and then they're like auto-updated. So I found an API thing that we might be able to finagle to get to work, I don't know. But either way, the point being, I would like to see more support for the speedrunning branch of the LOD fandom, you know, branch, because we've got all these different branches of things we're doing, kind of like the Divine Tree. And it would be cool if we could list the current world record standings and leaderboards and all that right on LOD.org, I think.
The Divine Tree was a great tree.
I just made a comment about that on a subreddit post the other week. In the beginning, nothingness filled the world. And then I wrote in caps, then the creator Soa descended from the sky.
Yeah.
Very terrible impression. Don't take that too seriously. I could probably do better if I tried. But the original voice artist, Wally Fields, who did Dr. Muto, is a wonderfully zany and beautiful individual. Like, Wally Fields. Look up Wally Fields.
Yeah, he did some really cool voices on that one, and all the cutscenes.
He had this great old website for a long time, too. Super, you know, basic looking, but very stylistic, and just tons of data on there. Little voices he did, and all this extra information that you wouldn't know any other way but going to his website. Yeah. It's a whole thing.
Well, I was going to say that another legend, the Diablo 2 speedrunning community also has their own website that links or uses the speedrun.com pages API or whatever.
Oh, cool.
So it definitely can be done, for sure.
Maybe I should talk to them.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly who. It might be... I'm not sure. But yeah, I know the Diablo 2 speedrun community also does that. That was my first game actually I speedrun. It was Diablo 2.
Yeah, I'm a researcher. I'll figure it out.
Yeah, I used to just do full runs, like not even care about the route. Just do whatever the notes say. Whoever said to do it, just do it. But now recently I've been basically rerouting everything myself, like thinking about it more in depth.
Mm-hmm.
Now that I understand. Now that I understand better, having done the run so many times.
How about casually doing, like, not necessarily a fastest time, but just a quick playthrough all the way through to the end kind of a thing? Have you ever, like, done that before? Because I don't usually see myself as a speedrunner, but even for me, I happen to do this a lot with Star Fox 64. Like, over the years, I've picked up the game multiple times at random just to do a complete playthrough, probably because it's short enough. It's, like, what, 40 minutes to an hour or something? But I noticed that I just, like, subconsciously do that and really enjoy it going from start to finish, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've done that several times. I just mostly like going as fast as possible with the timer up if I'm going to be playing a game anyway.
Okay, so if that's all we want to say, is there anything else you'd like to say about speedrunning before we do the outros?
I wanted to say a shout-out to Lasagna AAMMM. three A's at the end of Lasagna, then three M's. He's the one who really, 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 I inspired him. Like, that's my biggest accomplishment, is inspiring other people to do stuff, and I inspired him to speedrun this game, and he took it and ran with it and actually has been working with me. We rerouted the game extensively in the last couple of years. And he, you know, of course, has taken all the world records now. He surpassed me. The pupil surpasses the master, of course, every time. I'm just some washed up. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. Yeah. I just wanted to shout out Lasagna. He's really, really cool. He streams on Twitch too. Lasagna, spelled normally with three A's at the end and three M's.
Mm-hmm. So it's Lasagna.
Yeah, Lasagna.
I love that.
Oh, also, if you wanted to learn more about the debug room, there's a Dr. Swellman has a video on YouTube about the debug room discovery a few months ago. Yeah, that's about it.
All right. So next up, we have upcoming events. So tomorrow, we have the weekly live stream for the unofficial PC port, aka the decomp, aka the reverse engineered project, aka severed chains, aka reloaded. We will pin the name down, I promise. So basically, we're gonna play the game in its rebuilt state, optimized by Corey, aka Monoxide. Every week, there may be a new build here and there that will help the game look better, run better, have more features that aren't available in emulation or just aren't feasible in emulation. And that's going to be really exciting. So we're doing our second playthrough, our second episode of our first playthrough tomorrow at 7 p.m. Central Daylight Time. I'm really looking forward to that.
Sounds cool.
Yeah, it is very cool. Next, we have an art event that will probably be for most of the month of October. Basically, it's going to be a spooky theme, whether it's cute spooky or more realistic / sinister spooky, abstract horror spooky. I guess I would say, you know, don't go like adults only rating, but, you know, if you want to make like a serious, darker art, go for it. And I'll be doing an official announcement of that once we've done our art showcase of the last art event so that they don't overlap too much. Let's see here. We might do podcast episode 5 in October, but it depends on scheduling. So if that ends up not happening, I will try, no promises, I will try to prepare something else for the community in its place. I'm going to see what I can get working together here. And then beyond that, future weekly Friday streams for the unofficial PC port with me and Corey / Monoxide doing that on Fridays. Finally, in December, we may create more events, but for now, that's what we've got. And then in December, on the 2nd, I am going to try my hardest to do a digital convention. So basically, I was hoping to have a in-person convention by this year or next year. Due to various circumstances, including the pandemic taking way longer than it needs to and financing and other stuff, I can't quite do that yet. But I hope to in the next couple years. In the meantime, I would like to still build momentum towards the idea of a real-life in-person convention by doing a digital one. So that means I'll just arrange some segments, we'll do a live stream, people will have a couple activities to participate in, and we'll just make a big show of it, celebrating Legend of Dragoon's birthday, basically, because it released in Japan on December 2nd. Let's see, and then that's all for upcoming events right now. They may be subject to change. Just stay tuned to legendofdragoon.org to learn more there. I actually just posted an events update with some of those things. And now for our outros. So we have an ongoing petition asking Sony for a new game. To sign that, visit legendofdragoon.org/petition. We are currently over 29,000 signatures, and I know we can get a lot more with time and effort. This is part of an ongoing community campaign, so it's not just a petition by itself. It's part of a larger campaign I'm trying to keep getting rolling here, which I'll cover in more detail soon. We're always looking for help with various projects and tasks, from translation to wiki editing to info hunting and modding and all this stuff. There are dozens of ways to help. I'm currently rewriting our project list so it's more presentable. So in the meantime, visit our Discord server's volunteer channel to see what you can help with. You don't even need any skill for some of this stuff. Like 5 minutes of unskilled help makes a difference right now. And speaking of the Discord server, you can come and chat with the community and see all the cool stuff in development at discord.gg/dragoon. Like I said, sometimes you'll see in-progress works like the latest upscale images for the upcoming upscale project that we're going to get to use, or any of the research that I do and discoveries I find, translations, website updates, the latest stuff always funnels through the Discord server before it goes out to the general public on LOD.org. And now, Black Death Doom, it is time to promote your links or whatever you're working on that you want people to know about. So social links, projects, other speedrun stuff, whatever you want to mention.
Yeah, I just speedrun on Twitch basically all the time, every day, all day. I take a few days off, but yeah, I just speedrun full games like Legend of Dragoon, mostly JP version right now. And you can actually spend channel points on my channel to make me speedrun other games that I speedrun, like Final Fantasy X, Final Fantasy IX. Diablo 2, other games too, actually. But yeah, that's about it. I have a YouTube, but it's not that big. I have a few VODs on there, Legend of Dragoon based. Yeah, that's about it. Yeah, thanks for having me, man. Thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for hanging out. Much Legends.
Yep, thank you all so much, Black Death Doom. It was great having you here as my co-host today. So that's all for podcast number 4, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in, and we'll see you next time with more news from the global Legend of Dragoon community.
Bye.
Bye.